Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Andy Card has served me and our country in historic times. On a terrible day when America was attacked, during economic recession and recovery, through storms of unprecedented destructive power, in peace and in war.
So maybe you were expecting a Bush cabinet shakeup. Maybe you were expecting, oh, Donald Rumsfeld to resign, maybe even Cheney, maybe to be replaced as vice president by Condoleezza Rice, as conservative commentator Fred Barnes urged last week. But what we got instead about 2 hours ago was the resignation of one of the president's most trusted friends and advisors, chief of staff Andrew Card, who he's known for 20 years and who has been at the president's side since day one, making him the second longest serving chief of staff in U.S. history. With us to talk about the resignation of Andrew Card and his replacement, Josh Bolton, is John Podesta, former chief of staff for President Clinton from October 1998 until January 2001. He's now president and CEO of the Liberal Center for American Progress think tank. And John Podesta, welcome to WNYC.
Nice to be with you.
Why Andrew Card, of all administration officials, to resign today?
Well, it is a little bit odd. I think that somebody needed to take the spear. Things are going in the wrong direction, I think, for this administration. But you would have thought maybe Secretary Rumsfeld would have topped that list. But look, I think that at this stage, the White House staff itself seems a bit exhausted. They've made some critical errors. I know the Republican leadership in Washington, D.C. has been urging some shakeup over there. And I guess we got a ripple. It wasn't exactly a tidal wave. I think that Josh Bolton served as Andy Card's deputy for the first couple of years of this administration, and then has been, you know, across the driveway at the Office of Management and Budget.
Do you think
last 3 years.
Is this the beginning of a bigger shakeup? Is Card a first domino?
Well, you know, I think that it seems a little bit unclear at this stage. I think that the president himself seems comfortable with a very few people. Most of the promotions in the second term of this administration have been people very much from the inside, Condoleezza Rice to the State Department, Mr. Gonzalez to the Attorney General, Margaret Spellings to education. Those were all his senior White House aides who then took on important cabinet posts. So he seems to only like to work with a tight circle of folks. People have been urging him to do what Ronald Reagan did right in the wake of Iran-Contra and reach out and get somebody from the outside who could kind of reestablish, I think, the White House in these circumstances. If you recall back even in the early days of the Clinton administration, when things got a little bit rocky, the president brought Leon Panetta in to serve as his chief of staff, and he was hardly a Clinton insider at that point, but, you know, certainly when you become the chief of staff, you have to serve closely with the president. But, you know, it doesn't sound like the president is
bent that way.
He's kind of stubborn about these things, and I think he'll continue to really rely on just that very tight circle that have been with him for a very long time.
Yeah, so on this new chief of staff, Josh Bolton, I guess first thing we should probably say is that he is not John Bolton, the firebrand UN ambassador, lest
exactly.
anyone be confused. But who is Josh Bolton?
Well, Josh Bolton is been around Washington for a while. He served as on Capitol Hill. He was a very prominent lawyer on international trade matters here in Washington, D.C., and then served as Mr. Card's deputy, and then he's been the Office of Management and Budget Director for the last, 2.5 years. I think viewed as a well-regarded inside player in Washington, D.C. terms.
My guest is John Podesta, former chief of staff to President Clinton, as we talk about the resignation this morning of Andrew Card, the longtime chief of staff since the beginning of the administration to President Bush. And Mr. Podesta, you may not like this administration, but you got to have sympathy for a guy who did this job for 5+ years.
No, huh? Absolutely. You know, and I've always had a friendly relationship with Andy Card. I think he's one of these people who, you know, most people like him personally. He's a very kind of thoughtful person in his interpersonal dealings. I think he's well regarded.
He actually didn't make a lot of.
And it's a tough job, and to live through particularly the last couple of years, where particularly the experience in Iraq is you get to work every morning and the news seems relentlessly bad. And it's very, very difficult. He's probably the first guy there and the last guy home, so it's a tough job. So I do have sympathy for him.
And a Knight Ridder profile of him a couple of weeks ago said Card showed the classic passion for anonymity that chief of staff are usually called on to show. So since he's not a household name, unless, you know, those of us who follow politics, what's his legacy?
Well, you know, I think that history will judge that. I think over the long term, I think that he ran a tight White House crew. He was in the unfortunate, from my perspective, circumstance of having to share a lot of power with Mr. Rove. He was able to rally the country behind the president, and support the president as he tried to rally the country in the wake of 9/11. I think on some big questions, I think that there was the staff structure there will be viewed as one that didn't push back hard enough on some of the decisions, particularly by Mr. Rumsfeld at the Defense Department.
You mean you think Card might have been shaking his head and saying, "Oh my God, he's going to do that"?
Well, I don't know about that, but I think at some level facts matter, and I think one of the most important duties of people in those senior roles is to make sure that you're really dealing with a hard reality that you have to face up to. And I think this administration got a little carried away with their own storyline. Now that's my political perspective, but I think that he'll be viewed as a guy who was extremely loyal to the president, whose staff was extremely loyal to him, and as I said, ran a tight ship. Now whether where that ship ended up getting to as a result of the decision making on the budget and the deficit in Iraq, et cetera, will be judgments of history.
Former Clinton chief of staff John Podesta, my guest on WNYC, as we talk about the resignation of Andrew Card, President Bush's chief of staff today. What do you think about that Fred Barnes scenario? Do you think there's any possibility that the president might try to pull off a little internal coup like that, moving Dick Cheney to defense, firing Rumsfeld, and putting Condoleezza Rice in as vice president,
well,
poised to succeed him?
But their credibility is at some issue.
They've denied lots of things.
So, yeah, I saw, Condi denied it on Sunday. The vice president denied it. The president's denied it. So I doubt that that's actually in the offing. It stuns me, actually, that Secretary Rumsfeld's still there. And it wouldn't surprise me at all that at some point they move to replace him. I just think that the number of mistakes, failure to follow the advice of his senior military officers, et cetera, is just a kind of an astounding record. And I would think at some point the president has to try to wipe the slate clean. As I said, there are historical examples on both the Democratic and Republican side, like President Reagan.
While you're here, let me get you on some other issues. The immigration bills. You know, some commentators have predicted that this will be the gay marriage of the 2006 election cycle. Is this good for Democrats that this debate is happening now?
Well, I think that people were saying that a couple of months ago. I don't think they're saying it now. What they're saying now is that this is driving a wedge right through the heart of the Republican Party. And I think that the bill that the Senate Judiciary Committee reported out is kind of right at the heart of what the American people want to see. They want to see comprehensive reform with toughened border security, but they also want to see the capacity of people to kind of regularize, pay a penalty, work here, and get on a path to citizenship if they learn English and remain in
right.
good standing.
But is
and
there
I think
a
that what's happened is that that sort of ugly face of the Republican Party that Pete Wilson showed in California a decade ago is kind of coming out from Mr. Frist and Tancredo and others. And the president's got his own problems trying to hold his own party together. So I think the politics actually works against the Republicans at this point.
Paul Krugman, in his New York Times column yesterday, suggested low-wage workers actually would be making 8% more money if not for illegal immigrants. That's why Business and the Wall Street Journal editorial page are so much for guest workers. Is that the side that Democrats necessarily want to be on?
No, I saw that, and I saw that Harvard study, and I think that you know the Democratic Party needs to be for taking up the cause of low-wage workers, and I think you can do that by raising the minimum wage, as Senator Kennedy has proposed, and there are ballot initiatives on around the country. You could do that by creating fair labor standards in these bills that are moving forward. I don't think that it's very becoming of Democrats, or it's in their interest to try to create an economy which is driving down wages in this economy. On the other hand, there are 11 million undocumented workers here. It's prohibitively costly and probably impossible to round them up and throw them all out. And therefore, in order to really provide a floor on the economy and to begin to raise wages, I think you need to find a way for them to register to be here legally, and I think you got to find a way to support low wage work by raising wages, permitting people to organize, to enter unions, to raise the minimum wage, as I mentioned, and to do the other kinds of things. Instead of cutting Medicaid, we ought to expand it for legal immigrants who are here and for, you know, other American workers who are here. So I think there's a whole plethora of things that could be done, but I don't think that just suggesting that we can fix this by putting this all on the backs of mm-hmm. Of undocumented workers is reasonable.
John Podesta, President Clinton's chief of staff in the last years of his administration, my guest for another couple of minutes here on WNYC on the day that Andrew Card has resigned as President Bush's chief of staff. You know, we keep hearing that Democrats will have a plan like the Contract with America to enhance their chances of taking back Congress. Where's the plan?
Well, you know, I guess I think they're working on it. The leadership up there, you know, my center, our think tank has thrown out some big ideas on taxes and education and healthcare. Hopefully, people begin to think about that. I think that it would be the Democratic leadership is putting out a security agenda later this week that deals with strengthening the ground force and doing other things on Homeland Security. I haven't seen the details of that, but I know that they're planning on doing that later in the week. They put out some ideas on lobbying reform. But I think the American public is hungry to hear the change of direction that would come from Democratic leadership.
And
I think that they would be well served politically to get on with it and put it out there.
In 30 seconds, what about a change of direction in Iraq? Can the Democrats win saying Bush is a failure without an alternative clear strategy?
Well, you know, you're asking a guy who, again, our senior people here have put forward an idea for how to manage the situation and get out of Iraq. We called it strategic redeployment, and a lot of the political rhetoric has moved to that.
But is it like the Murtha
call
plan?
is to reduce our ground force there in 2006 and get out by 2007, along with some a major diplomatic initiative in the region. And so, you know, if you're asking me, I would say that the Democratic leaders would be well served by putting forward their own ideas.
We have to leave it there. But John Podesta, who is now president and CEO of the Center for American Progress, I hope we can have you back and talk more about the ideas coming from the center.
Sure.
Thank you very much for joining us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.